Blog Talk Radio.
Today on The Richard Show, the rise of the tightness industry. We're continuing a series that I started a few weeks ago now, and you can go back and listen to that and get caught up. What I try to do each week is recap the prior week so that you have an idea if you're just joining us and you haven't listened to the archives, so that you have an idea of what's going on. And really, what we're talking about is your world. We're talking about why things are the way they are. And so often in today we would say history is not important. It's today, current event. And truth is history plays a huge part. In fact, this goes back over 100 years. It goes back to the Industrial Revolution and the Titan industry called the oligarchs that have formed alliances with one another. Interesting enough, not only here in this country, but worldwide. Didn't think that could happen, but because they kept us apart, they divided us, and it is divide and conquer. The old adage or saying, and so they have kept us divided, but they have combined their efforts to create and control the world. What we're trying to do here is give you an idea of who they were, who these men were, and the families in today, and into eugenics and at some point in the show later on, and build that story for you so you understand not only what they were trying to attempt to do in controlling and creating, kind of like what Hitler did, a new race, but what they needed to do in the process, and that's the process of elimination, which we will get into when we get into the medical industry and how that was created by the same families. So last time, the story leaves off where the Rockefellers are kind of being made probably an evil family that then grows into many other and joins hands with many other families, including the Carnegies and the Rothschilds and the Nobels. And so they even though it appears that they're evil, what they do in some cases is actually very good for us. Of course, when the oil is discovered and then propagated and grows, and competition is encouraged along the way, and I say competition, what they would then later believe to go out and buy these competitors out. And here's a theory or thought that I always have, this is the tough part. You start a company, you grow it, and then your approach to sell that company, and you sell it. But what you don't realize or don't look into is who you're selling to. And, of course, if they're threatening you on one side, which is exactly what's been going on throughout the history of this country, it's this mentality, this idea that it's okay to take your competitor out, whether you buy them out and reasonably, or you just put them out by competition and really what I call dirty play. And this happened to me in business as well when I was in business and in the ice industry, in that I had competitors that were threatening me, that were actually threatening me and telling me that they were going to go after me, and in fact did, and I won't get into that today, and be glad to share that story, and I will in time. But ultimately, that's what's been this idea of business, which I call a false narrative, of business today, and how we treat one another, how we compete with one another was created largely by these same families, with this idea that it's okay, that this business is business. Well, I disagree with that thinking, and I think that that's got us into a lot of trouble and hurt a lot of people along the way, by the way. And so I would say that if you own a business and you want to sell that business, certainly that's your right. This is America, and certainly we're in a capitalist society. If somebody offers you a ton of money, then you should take that opportunity. However, I would say there's a moral aspect to that. Well, for you and deciding whether this company that you created, put all the hard work and tears and sweat and sacrifice into, whether you want that to fall into the hands of somebody that has ill intent and certainly is not going to maintain that same standard that you've set. And that, you know, that's a tough one, quandary, because once again, you're being offered to be paid and probably a handsome sum, quite frankly, in today's world, to get out of the way, so to speak. And by doing that, you are really playing the game, but participating in your own demise. Because ultimately, in the end, these companies that are taking control of these industries are changing the world in a lot of ways and the way we live in that world. And so, getting back, we know that the Rockefellers did well. John D. did well in oil, buying out competition, and he did that, and again, in an insidious way, by buying through other companies that he bought so that he wouldn't get the attention that he would get that Ida Tarbell would later bring on. And we talked about her earlier in an earlier broadcast. So the early part of this century begins with two companies. Again, you've got competition here in America, but that's being eliminated by the Rockefellers and now opens up to the world, which he's already playing in, but not, you know, he doesn't have control of yet. And so that's where the Royal Dutch Oil Company comes in. They buy Fertz and later become Royal Dutch Shell. And these two families, one of them, again, the oil company is becoming, in across the pond, as they call it, would be part of a initially grant from the Netherlands, which would later then make the first queen a multi-billionaire for that time, and then hence the start of the Royal Dutch Shell Company, which would also join hands with Royal Dutch Trading Company, first established by Marcus Samuel Sr., later to be taken over by his son, which his son would then do business shipping this oil from the Middle East and throughout that area for the Rothschilds, which the Rothschilds and Nobels would then become part of that company and control it. So, and you know, understanding the banking system, you've heard the Rothschild name. The Rothschild name, of course, goes along with the Bank of England. And if you do the history and go back, the Rothschilds are originally from Germany, from Frankfurt, Germany, and their name initially or originally was called the Meyer family, of Frankfurt, Germany. They would later change their name to the Rothschilds, which is really a symbol, a red shield that they had hanging up over a doorway, as the story goes, and ultimately they would change their name. So often people do that for various reasons. Maybe they've gotten trouble in their life, or in this case, it's a deceptive practice to take the heat off the family so the family lives a reasonable life, albeit very, very well, wherever that may be. But that's what happened between the Rothschild Meyer family. And so changing that, and then the father would have five children, five boys. He would send them out to France and throughout Europe to conquer what he would later realize would be the control of money. And if you control the money, you control the government. If you control the government, you control the people. And ultimately, that's what they did. Of course, they had other investments in oil And that's where, hence the World Dutch Trading Company comes in, or Dutch Shell today. And then Marcus Samuel Jr., he creates a ship that would go through the Suez Canal, which was unheard of at that time, that would carry this oil. And this ship, tanker, the oil tanker, was a big deal. I mean, back in 1892, and to be the first one to go through the Suez Canal, which then would, you know, set the tone, if you will, for future competition coming in through the Suez Canal as well, but revolutionizing the way oil is being shipped. So in Persia, in modern-day Iran, you have the British also trying to make their mark as they go in and through history have the control over that area and are manipulating countries to get into what they're trying to establish as well. And so today, BP, British Petroleum, which is largely the royal family of England, still has control of that and continues to make money from that. The interesting part of that in question is, you know, to do this history for you, is does that affect the British people? I mean, the people of England, do they also pay taxes, part of their taxes in England? Are they going to help offset the costs of the British family? I mean, isn't that interesting that they have control of the oil, and that oil then is producing huge amounts of money for the British family, the royal family, I should say. Interesting enough, would that, you know, have they also put that burden on the people? My guess would be yes, but I will do that history and talk more about that in the future. So, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but the first electric car was 1828. The Model T and Ford's production line would handle both alcohol, which could be derived from corn and various organic sources. That would later become a problem for Prohibition, because Prohibition obviously was a point when alcohol became a problem in America. At least the government thought so, and they were going to try to control it. And during that time, people were still drinking what was being put in their automobiles. And so that became a problem for the oligarchs. They had to do something about that. And so John Dee would buy into the Prohibition movement, but with a twist, in that what they needed to figure out is people were consuming the alcohol and taking away from the business that they could be getting on the oil side, the gasoline side. And so Ford made his car to run on gasoline and alcohol, but with the intent eventually of having more of alcohol than gasoline. And so there was a bit of a war going on there. And so with Prohibition was created and put into effect, people were compromising and drinking. And so ultimately in the end, what they ended up doing is taking a derivative of the oil industry, of oil, and putting it in the alcohol, which made a lot of people sick and died during that time because they weren't aware of that. And ultimately that would push people away from alcohol. Isn't that interesting the way they did that? And towards gasoline. And so there's a bit of piece of information for that era and how that all came about. We'll continue this in our next segment. I appreciate you tuning in, and I am in the process of creating a Benjamin Franklin would call a junto or junto, which is a group, a philosophical group that will come together and talk about the various issues of the time, including political and religious and all. And so I am putting a group together. I'm planning on taking that live eventually, and wanted to make you aware of that. So there's plans for that, and hope you'll join us. With that, I will wish you a great and healthy day, and we will see you Saturday. Have a great day, America.